don't need this kind of negativity.
Okay, then.
I have to be chill when talking to you right now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just chill it out over there, then.
Just keep it chill, bro. Welcome to The Thought Dish. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Kayla.
And what's on your plate today, Kayla, on the first episode of the new year?
I mean, honestly, there's always a lot on my plate. I don't know. Just thinking about like the future of the show and what we've all done in the past year and where we're going to go from here.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff. Not even just for the show, but just like in life, there's a lot of stuff.
Yep.
For me, I'm trying to kind of shift gears with my own business because it's not sustainable at this time frame. And admitting that it's not sustainable has been terrifying. And then with the podcast, I got to be honest, like the week leading up to this, besides the fact that this week went by so damn fast that I have no idea.
So fast. I don't know what the hell that was about.
Where was it? I don't know. This week never happened. It's more like I kind of was dreading it a little bit. Because I knew how much work I was going to have to put in. And, you know, today it was fine. Like, I was having fun today. And I know that I'm still going to have to put a lot of work into what I do with this. And we are, like, an hour and a half late to starting because I was like, let's try some new things. Let's do some new stuff. So, as much as I was dreading it on, like, the lead up to today, I think today is doing great, to be honest.
Well, I think that's, like, a thing that a lot of people can relate to too. It's like the buildup before something that we haven't done since December. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's just, it feels like daunting and like, where is this going? How is it going to go? You know, like I've kind of experienced a little bit of that, but I can't imagine on your end when you're like organizing the whole thing and doing all the background things.
I also sprung on you. I'm like, I'm going to try to record video for this today.
Yeah. Hi.
It actually looks like you're the neighbor in Home Improvement right now because I have like 10 different things in front of your face. All I can see is like your eyes.
I'll just say this like this the whole time.
I think it's your forehead. And I'm very aware of my own voice and I can hear it in your microphone here or there. And that's also another thing that was happening in the past and like I'm trying to do better now is the audio. And we're still going to have some struggle because this room is not meant to record audio in.
We're not professional yet, people. Okay. We're doing our best.
I am a professional. I'm just not in a professional setting because exactly. I have no money.
Well, we can't. What are we going to do? Like soundproof and make this a podcast room? Like,
and nothing else. It already looks like I'm cruel and unusual punishment to you because you're in the corner with nothing. And like, I can kind of see my printer in the corner.
It looks way more dramatic than it really is. I'm not in a corner. Like, my back's to a corner, but like,
she's definitely.
You can put me in a corner. I don't care.
She's like, fuck it. Put me in a corner. And mine looks all nice because I did stream for a while and I'm thinking about starting streaming again, which just means I put more stuff on my plate. You know, I'm like, let's put more things on my plate. I also realized part of the reason I do that is because I put off things like care tasks. Keeping the house clean, which I do relatively okay. Most of the time, the reason why this place is clean is because Kayla keeps coming over. And so therefore, I feel like I have to keep the place clean.
That is the best excuse when you have people over to do the things. I completely concur.
Except the problem is we're going to get way too comfortable and I'm not going to care anymore.
I mean, whatever.
But it's mostly because it's like care tasks were a punishment growing up. And so
it doesn't feel fun.
It doesn't feel like I should do it. And I'm so dopamine withdrawn that I'm like, I need dopamine. And why is this not doing what I needed to do? And all that sort of stuff.
Well, and I hate to say how we're like so connected to the weather here, but like we've had a really nice winter, like quote unquote, for temperatures, but like, and like lack of snow, but it's been so freaking gloomy and just dead outside.
Yeah.
Like it just
it's been winter.
Yeah, it's just been winter and like boring and whatever. I'm excited for some sun and to have the windows open and to be outside and like enjoy myself. And it's coming. Yeah. It's just, you know, slow.
Yeah, I don't know. Mine I feel like it doesn't matter what the weather is for me. Like, I'll just not want to do stuff. And I go to my therapist for that, and I go to my psychiatrist about that. My therapist even brought up that I might have, instead of OCD, I have OCPD, which is obsessive compulsive personality disorder. And I was like, no, I don't. And then I look up some of the stuff. I'm like, maybe. Because I don't have the like obsessive need to clean, but then I have the obsessive need to like purge, which is technically the opposite of it, because it has a tendency to want to hang on to things even if you don't think it has value. But it also has like a rigidity to it and like a certain way of functioning. And I feel like a lot of the parts of OCPD is dismissed with me because I've had so much trauma, and I've kind of forced myself through that trauma, that some of the symptoms don't exist for me anymore. Like, not being able to handle change is one of them. And I went into a degree in which I had to change on the fly every 5 minutes, and it sucked in college. Like, I'm not going to lie to you, being in college was just miserable at times, but it made me very easy to handle change. Like, I can, okay. I mean, inside, I feel every part of my being kind of like fizzle out when something changes dramatically.
Yeah, it's hard. Change is really, really, really hard, I feel like, for people that come from trauma, big trauma.
Yeah, I think mine's just like a buildup of little trauma so much that it's just whatever. But I feel like I gave myself forced exposure therapy without realizing it was exposure therapy.
Well, and that's something I feel like that's changed a lot for me in the past year too. Like, I wasn't on any medication when we started last year, and I've completely, like, I've been diagnosed with two new things. I'm on medication. I'm like the most even. And when I listen back at the first few episodes, I can like hear my mania.
Like, which doesn't help me at all, because I would just ride that mania with you. Yep. I'm like, let's go.
Yep.
And
I mean, it's not like I was like in a like a really, really bad place. I was just very unregulated compared to where I'm at now.
Yep.
Which has been such a learning curve, because I was used to the dramatic upswing and the dramatic downswing. And now I don't really have those. Or when I do, they're like very few and far between and not as aggressive. So it feels boring to me now a little bit more in my brain. So that's been something I've been navigating the past year. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm still trying to find boring. I'm still trying to find boring, and I want boring so bad. I'm like, please make it boring in my head. And I think I'm slowly getting there. We've kind of made a cocktail of medications because of how my brain works. And we were joking at the beginning of this. I'm like, oh, I have to be calm, cool, and collected, because if I talk too loudly, I pick up on Kayla's mic, and I'm trying to limit my amount of editing that I have to do. And she's like, good luck with that.
Yeah.
It's just because that's kind of how we are. We're loud, and inside my head's even loud, and I'm getting better. And I think it's going to help with my future. And the future of this podcast, the future of what I do, the future of my business, the future of my job, the future of what I do for Kayla and her business. But it still feels like I am like 5 steps behind on getting that figured out, when everyone, it feels like everybody else has. And I'm just sitting there like, I don't know. I mean, isn't this all still a problem for everybody else? And they're like, no.
I
mean,
I definitely have my days, but like, I just feel like as a whole, I'm just a lot more even keeled, which again is just, I'm getting used to the monotony of life now, which is, I don't know. It feels like depression sometimes, but I'm like, this, I think this is just normal. Like, I think it's just a state of like, I just am.
Yeah, this is how everyone else thinks. And you're like, whoa, not a fan. Don't want to be there. And sorry, bye. But in reality, it's like, no, this is how you don't bring yourself out within a week.
Yeah.
Of doing stuff. I'm still burning myself out. I worry sometimes that I'm maybe stuck in a level of burnout that I didn't realize I was stuck in.
Which that's happened to me before too.
But then I also don't know how to fix it, because I don't know how to sit still. then I also don't know how to move, if that makes sense. Like, I can't sit still, but I also don't do anything. It's in this weird, weird state, that's for sure.
Yeah, that felt like before I was diagnosed with ADHD, that's how I felt. I was like all over the place and like not knowing where to put my energy, but I had a lot of it.
Yep.
Like, what do I do? What gives? But now at least I can like keep on task and get some things done, and it feels a lot better.
So I think we've talked in the podcast before that I have situational ADHD, which yes. I found really funny because like, isn't every situation a situation? But we... Since then, I was put on Vyvanse for other things that have nothing to do with ADHD. And I learned within a few months of being on that, on like a higher dose that's supposed to help me, it was making things worse. So apparently my situational ADHD is just flat out anxiety. And I just need to up my antidepressant, apparently. Because it was causing me so much irritation, and my ADHD like moments were becoming so many. Like they were intense all the time. I'll never forget stuff all the time. I forgot toast in the toaster because I wanted toast. And I left, did something else in the meantime, came back, made something else in the kitchen to eat. And then
oh, yeah, you told me those.
Yeah, and then about an hour later, I hear Taylor chuckling in the kitchen, and I was like, what? And he's like, you forgot something. And I come in there, I'm like, oh, my toast. I don't want toast anymore. So I was like, does this happen all the time? And he's like, yeah, it does. And so then I was realizing it was making me more forgetful and more ADHD. And so I'm like, I gotta get off of this. Which sucked. And it was, I'm still on the aftermath of that, because the thing it was fixing was, it was fixing it pretty well. But the things it was causing was a lot worse.
Yeah. Yeah, that sucks when you're like, I wish this was going to be like the thing, and then it's not. And then you have to try other things, and it's a whole adventure.
Well, and then I frequently want to go to my psychiatrist and be like, is it actually working, or do I not know that it's actually working? You know, like, mm-hmm. is this fixing my problem, or... I don't know. Everything feels the same, but maybe I'm just used to it feeling the same now. And then I realize if I'm spiraling on this anxiety moment that maybe my antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications aren't doing.
Yeah. Well, and that's when I knew to check in mm-hmm. with the ADHD stuff is like when I know is when I have like a million little projects all over my house and I'm like, it's happening again. Mm-hmm. So then I have to like ask her what's going on, because mm-hmm. the hard thing too with ADHD and bipolar disorder is it could be a manic thing. So we just have to keep checking in with the sleep patterns and then mania versus ADHD, because it presents itself very, very similarly. So it's just like going through all the questions and being like, okay, are you sleeping well at night? Okay. Are you like overspending on money that you don't even have? Like that's a trigger with bipolar disorder. And then if you're just having like time blindness and you have all these like different tasks that you're not completing and you're distracted all the time, ADHD. So like you just really have to peel it apart.
Well, now I have to go make a note to my doctor about, do I have bipolar?
I mean, it's all a spectrum. So like, yeah, I mean, she thinks,
so weird.
Yeah. And like, she thinks that like, you know, my grandma was definitely bipolar 1, to the point of like, if she wasn't on medication, she would, you know, be a danger to herself and others. So like bipolar 1, that's that extreme. And then more than likely my dad has something that's a little bit more diluted. I probably have something that's a little bit more diluted. So it's like bipolar 2-ish.
Well, I mean, my grandma did stab my grandpa in the hand because she thought he was cheating.
Okay, well.
So so maybe it's bipolar. Maybe. Or maybe it's just schizophrenia, which my dad still thinks my grandma had schizophrenia. And then he still will go around and be like, you remind me a lot of your grandmother. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I don't know. One of my favorite people in this world has schizophrenia, and she's just like, she thinks so cool, like just very different.
I know I don't have that. The only voice in my head is mine, and it's just very mean sometimes. But I've never really had the full like OCD situation. And so when my therapist brought up OCPD, and I looked it up, and there's certain things that like also have ADHD tendencies. Like you have a level of needing perfectionism that you don't get things done, or you start things and you never finish them.
Mm-hmm.
And you have this rigidity of how you think about yourself and how you view yourself. And if you don't fit that mold, then you are cruel to yourself. You're cruel to others that don't fit that mold sometimes too, depending on how, you know, regulated you are otherwise. But like, one of the things is spending is a trigger for me. Mm-hmm. And that used to be one of those ones. And it used to be because of my depression and when I lived with my parents. And I would just buy things because it just made me feel better for like 5 seconds. And that's that dopamine need. But I don't know. Like, it's always constant. I always feel bad when I go into my psychiatrist being like, I have new questions of like new diagnoses that could be me, because I want an answer.
It's the culture that we live in too. I mean, it's everywhere, you know, like on TikTok, it's a whole bunch of people like self-diagnosing. And of course we're going to think then, like, I've had so many moments where I'm like, maybe I'm autistic and maybe there is like a slight part of that in there.
I went to my therapist. I've had multiple therapists and I go to every single one of them that I've gone to. And I was like, am I autistic? And they're like, no, babes, no. I had one. She's like, I did my whole thesis on autism. No, babes, you don't have autism. So I'm like, thanks. But I ask every new therapist.
I love it.
But it's less, cause like, I actually appreciate the world of like self-diagnosis in some ways. And it's mostly because they're doing the research, they're looking into it. These are the symptoms. These are how I'm doing it. And most of the time, the reason why they're having to do self-diagnosis is because they have no money for an actual therapist,
right,
or a psychiatrist, and they also need to cope. And so they're finding healthier ways to cope because they gave themselves a diagnosis, and the diagnosis has ways of treating it. And of course, they can't do the medicine, but maybe they can do the mental therapies of writing things down or helping to avoid triggers or blah, blah, blah. Yes, it can go bad. Like, I know too many people that have used boundaries the wrong way, or, you know, done certain things the ways that are just hurtful. But I feel overall it has a more positive take than just raw dog in life because you don't have a therapist.
Right. Well, and at least you're like taking the initiative to try to understand, you know, right, what makes you tick and why you're different and mm-hmm. why you react the way you do and yada, yada.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where, and I've gotten better at it too, where I don't try to diagnose other people too aggressively. Like, sometimes I'm like, it does feel a little bit like this, but I'm not going to like fault them for it, because I'm not anybody who can do that. Mm-hmm. And even if you could do that, you don't do that to random people.
Right.
But I also use this to find more information about myself and then go to my actual psychiatrist and my therapist and be like, okay, so I took this OCPD test online and it gave me a graph. Here you go. What does it mean? Should we like pursue this? The graph kind of made me a little anxious, I'm not going to lie, because like certain things like emotional control were fine, but I was doing the thing that anxiety and like autistic people understand me. People with anxiety will understand me, because it would ask questions of like, do you express your emotions well? And I immediately go, which emotions?
Yeah.
That's because funny. Certain emotions, no. Other emotions, too much. And so I'm like asking these questions. And I know mine is not rooted in like not understanding the question and like needing the clarification, because I need the clarification. Mine is rooted in there were consequences if I didn't answer the question correctly. And so I'm trying desperately not to, because that's what my past was. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying desperately mm-hmm. to avoid the consequence. So this was a lot of mental health stuff when we're talking about our future. I love
that. That's okay. That's what we've been going through. Thing. I feel like 2023 for me was mental health. Like, it was figuring things out that I've needed to figure out my whole life, but I just didn't take the time to figure it out. And it caused a lot of unnecessary negative ripples.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ironing that out was very imperative for me to go forward in life in general, honestly.
Yeah, I can see that. And 2024 is kind of like 2023, we found out a lot of our issues.
Yeah.
And 2024 is trying to live healthily with that. Like, one of my biggest things is making a routine, which this weekend my routine was absolutely trash. I overslept yesterday. I just kind of like gave up. I played Sims for a little bit I worked, played some Sims, and then I was like, oh shit, I have to do D&D stuff. And then I did D&D stuff until like 1 a.m. So right now I don't have routine.
Yeah.
But the goal is to work on that, especially since I have been loosely diagnosed with fibro. We can't really like confirm it unless we do every test in the world. And then still then they're like, maybe it's something else. So my doctor is very supportive in me going through and finding as much information on that as I can and trying to live my life as if I do have fibro and then giving myself those routines. And she's given me some pain medication, which everyone hates being on medication, but it was a, are you chasing pain or are you living?
Right.
And so that's been it. And she also gave me, because I asked the question, I was like, how do I know if I need more medication or not? And she's like, oh, when you start reaching for the heavy pain medication more often, because I have like an emergency version.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, if you start reaching to that more often, then that's your marker. Because I'm so used to like just take the bare minimum and just try to survive. And the reality is I shouldn't be just surviving.
Right. I don't think that's the purpose of life. Well, and that's what we were just talking about that at Sam's like pool league the other day. Somebody said like, what's your biggest fear? And everybody was saying things like being tortured and like all these like random things. And I was just like listening to it all and just kind of smiling. And people were like, well, what's your fear? And I'm like, being on my deathbed and regretting things that I didn't do that I wanted to. Like, mm-hmm. That's my biggest fear. Like, to me, that's more realistic, because am I gonna get like picked up and tortured? Probably not. Like, the probability of that is pretty tiny. So like, even though that was somebody's legit fear, I was just like, it's so interesting to me, right? that's like your legit fear.
Like, well, okay. And then like, it's so funny to me because it's like their legit fear is being tortured, and I had to sleep sitting on the couch for 6 months because my back was in such pain that like if I tried to lay down, I was in excruciating pain. So I'm like, I have been tortured.
Yeah.
So that's nothing to me now. What it is if I'm just surviving. If
and maybe that's what the deeper thing was, like being in pain that you couldn't get out of or something.
There's a lot of times as people talk about, and I even still am worried about this too, is the becoming disabled in a way in which your whole life that you have now has changed.
Yeah.
And you have pain every day.
And you just have to change how you do literally everything.
That's how you hit that depression. Like, that's how you hit that, like, is it even worth trying? Is it even worth living?
Yep.
There are certain points where I'm like, well, if I had to lose my legs, I probably would have a lot of struggle.
Yeah.
And that's from me who's, like I said, I couldn't even bend 45 degrees. Like, it wasn't happening. There was nothing there. And it's one of those things, if they had told me, like, nope, we can't fix this. You're going to have to live this way. That would have been bad. I remember getting out of surgery and I still had excruciating pain when they sat me up and I started crying because I was very worried that that was going to be it. I was like, that's the pain I have to live with. It was just because, you know, I had surgery and the trauma was there. But the surgery I had before that, when I had issues with my back before that, I woke up and I was like, oh my God, my back feels amazing. I can fucking, you know, run a mile and do a somersault. Which neither of those things were things I could do, but
yeah,
it felt that way. So it's just, I think our own mortality is terrifying and our own squishy, fleshy bodies are terrifying when they don't run the way they're supposed to.
Right.
So mine's just like, stop being in survival mode because you're too afraid of something bad happening. Give yourself enough resources when you can, because I understand that like I am in a privileged state that even though I'm broke, I can still pay my bills.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's kind of where I'm at too, is like trying to be grateful for the little things,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. I might not be where I want to be, quote unquote, or where I envision myself to be at this point in my life, but I have all of these different things that I am able to do and that some people can't.
Yep. Speaking of things that we can do that other people can't, we can enjoy a tater tot hot dish.
Yes, I'm so grateful for the foods.
So delicious foods. We are having a tater tot hot dish as our return dish because obviously that makes sense for Thought Dish.
Mm-hmm. And it was our first one?
It was. And it's also cooked by me again.
Which it was supposed to be me, but then I was like last minute, like, actually, I have a lot going on this weekend. I will take you up on that.
Yeah, you cook the food, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
That's okay. We're busy people, but we support each other. So we'll come back maybe on a more happy note because we're not going to be hungry and we can talk more about our future. anyway, now that I've started everything over again for the 14th time, we're back.
Hi.
Kayla's no longer bleeding.
Nope.
She decided to start bleeding while eating hot dish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I cut off a portion of my finger a couple of weeks ago, and it just decided that it wanted to leak a little bit.
Fine. It's fine. It's just marking its territory.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the future of Hot Dish podcast and what we want to do for 2024. One of the things being is me attempting to do stuff with video that we can hopefully put on our Ko-fi and people can watch our beautiful faces. Right now, it's based on two really shitty webcams and the inability to record skillfully. But the future also will include maybe us donating money at some point. If we make money, we donate money. We want to help charities that really are close to our heart. And I mean, we literally put that we're bi women in our, you know, summary of what we are as Thought Dish Podcast. And so we'd want to give back to that kind of community too. So,
yes. Yes, yes. And I think like just going into the future too, I would just like to see more listeners and followers that kind of relate with what we talk about with our lives. Just navigating life as two trauma survivors and, you know, just having that relatable content that people want to tune into.
Yeah. We've already switched over to Spotify for Podcasters, which has more of a community base behind it than what we were on. And so people can actually like answer a question per podcast episode and kind of like engage with us, which I think is really important for us because we kind of just want to have a communication with people instead of just talking to each other. I mean, as much as we like started the podcast because we love talking to each other, but there's a lot of times that like we would love, you know, the input to learn more things and be told like, hey, I relate to this, or, you know, here's a new perspective. And that's what we always want. I mean, Kayla and I have very different perspectives on a lot of stuff. Like
we do,
we don't match up on a lot of things. And I think that's part of the best part of our friendship is how different we are. And how we navigate that without being mean and cruel to each other.
Well, and I think too, like it'd be cool with the connecting of that too. If like somebody had like a cool topic that they wanted to hear us like talk back and forth about, I think that would be really cool too.
Yeah, I usually bug my sister about that because I'm like, hey, what do you want to hear about? And it's always like the same stuff, being like, can you just talk about this again? Or like, hey, can you talk about this? Which is we've talked about a lot of times. But we also beginning, as we talked about before, we get really distracted, which, you know, is whatever.
I mean, that's going to be a continuous thing.
We might have ADHD diagnoses or whatever, but we'll still ramble on with whatever for the end of time.
I feel like that's why I have to anchor like with my notes too. It was like I have to like be like, what were we talking about? Oh yeah, that's right.
Right. So for the people who, if this actually does come out on a video side on Ko-fi, Kayla is never looking up at the camera or me. She's always looking at her notes.
Doodles.
So I think at some point when we have the money, donate to Ko-fi so that way we can also put up a little extra camera that is just Kayla's doodles.
Yeah, there we go.
And then we can cut back and forth between that and my cat. And
people can request stick figures because that is what I'm capable of drawing.
Speaking of things like drawing, we also at some point would love to create like merch and like shirts and some of the dumb sayings that we have, like fucking pooping chads, become stickers or something like that.
Communication, it's a hell of a drug.
Yep, that one I think is going to be our main one, but yep. I just think it'd be cool to have that in the future. I mean, it's hard to do that when you don't have a really huge audience, and every person who does listen we really do love and appreciate, but to get more stuff we need to broaden that right. audience and keep
well and
growing.
I think we can come up with goals of like, you know, if we get this much in profit or income or whatever it is, then we can invest in this, you know.
Right,
we can just
exactly.
We can break down some goals I think in 2024, which will be super fun. And then once we hit those goals, like personally for Thought Dish, then we can always do goals for like if you buy a t-shirt, x amount of the proceeds will go to this charity, you know.
Exactly. And I think one of the things, it's something that's important for your business, and it's kind of important with mine, even though it's just one person and not a lot of people really care, is that transparency of like, where is that money going to go? And like, how is it being used? And, you know, any dollar that's donated to us in the future, it's not going to just like disappear and we're going to go to like Disneyland or something. If we go to Disneyland, we're bringing you with, you know.
No, it's definitely investing in like, we need a new mic for me for sure. And like, just like little things like that, that are going to make the experience for everybody better. I think that those are the first things. And yeah, I think it's going to be kind of fun. Like just being transparent about like, these are the things that we want to achieve. And these are the things that we need to do that. And if you want to be a supporter, here is the link.
Yeah, I think our future is mostly like involving our audience as best we can.
Yeah,
I mean, we already do that in a way because like half of our audience are our friends. And so that we drag them on here. We still need to get Erin on an episode of Thought Dish Podcast because she desperately wants to be on one. And
well, and we're busy people. So like, I think it's kind of cool that the followers that we do have right now are some of our closest friends.
But yeah,
they feel like they've said that they're hanging out with us, which is super cool. So I think doing that a little bit more with maybe people that we're not even as close to, just in general, that's going to be kind of cool too to see.
Yeah, we're your best friend. We just talk shit in the corner all the time.
Yep.
Until the end of time. But yeah, I think we took a good chunk of a break and it was well needed. And during that break, I was like, I don't even know if I like want to come back to this, because it was just one of those things. It was so nice to not have to think about it. But like getting back into the role of it, like the rhythm of doing it has been really nice, even though it seemed very chaotic today. And like, I've already shut off a camera twice and like ruined something and had to re-record something. Like, things are just crazy. But I think it's fun, and I think it kind of grounds it down, like grounds our life.
Yeah.
In a space. We are trying to do things that are keeping our own space a little bit better. Like, we're going to record two episodes in a day, so that way we can do once a month we're meeting instead of twice a month, which clears up another day for us to just think and breathe. And that also allows me to do video on the side of it and see if that works, because I'll have time to edit and time to put it out and time to figure it out. And we're running it a little bit more like a business and less of like just two people getting together and talking shit, which I also have put as part of my business in the future, is that I'm going to try to do a coaching program that's basically run your life like a business. And which sounds really silly, but it's the reality of like certain things in your life that you want the structure for, but you don't know how to put that in. That's when you get like a coach like I would be. It's not exactly life coaching, because I'm very shy. I like to shy away from the life coaching, because a lot of it's bullshit. And this is more like, you have some goals and you need someone there to tell you, get your shit together. Then, you know, that would be the point of why I'm there.
Yeah. Well, and I think that that's what coaches are for, is, you know, to keep you accountable to what you need to be doing to grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think and it might be shooting me in the foot, is I'm trying to create a coaching system that at some point you don't need me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And like, life coaches a lot of them don't have that. They like want you to kind of basically be married to each other till the end of time. And mine's like, no, I'm going to give you a framework, and the thing that you want to accomplish, you're going to accomplish. And then you're going to be like, hey, actually, I can do this by myself. Thanks.
Yeah. Until the next time, because that's always a thing that happens. It's like,
until the next big project where you need that support.
And when you start to fall a little bit, you need another pick me up. Cause that's, I've always thought that too, is like, oh, I'm just going to be done one day. And no, because then there's things that evolve and happen and you're like, I need more coaching.
But it's one of those things where I'm not trying to make it so that you're like dependent on me, because I also know that like that money you'd be throwing at me, you could be throwing at something else that could be important. And I think that's also like how we run the podcast and stuff, where it's like, yeah, we talk about wanting to make money, but then we also talk about charity. You know, that's how you run your business, where you're like, yes, we're talking about all this stuff and you want to do all this stuff for your employees, which is a whole other level in the salon industry, doing stuff for your employees.
Yep.
But also you do want to give back, and you always try to give back to even your clients.
Yep.
And I think you say we're gonna be millionaires. I'm like, I think we're gonna be like thousandaires, because we're always giving a chunk of it to somebody else. And I think there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
No. I think that the company could bring in millions, we can maybe profit, you know, in thousands. That's fine,
right? You're like, millions over here, thousands over here. You're like, as long as I get one vacation and a nice house and I can raise a family, everything else is gravy. And that gravy part is where we suddenly buy presents for friends and give to charity and do all that sort of stuff. And I think that's how our mindset is. And I think that's probably why we're no Jeff Bezos.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. you know, we're having fun with it. And hopefully we have fun in the future with Thoughtdish and 1,000 other things that we're doing.
Yeah. And we're not like anyone special. We're just, you know, thinking of the things and speaking about them. Like, that's about it.
We just have a lot of shit to say and then no one to say them to. So we just kind of say it to each other.
So here we are.
Yeah. That's kind of how Thoughtdish started in the first place. Cause like I go get my nails done and then I just talk shit for like an hour and a half. And then I'm like, we should start a podcast. But it's all for fun. And, you know, we're no You Betcha or any of those guys who kind of made their whole career out of it. But maybe we can make part of our career out of that.
Yeah.
Because I have a bad feeling like we wouldn't want to just do this. Like, you'd still want to do hair. You'd still want to teach that stuff to people. You'd still want to run that business. And I still want to do my stuff. Like, I wouldn't want to just do this.
Right. I think that's the variety is the spice of life thing is happening more and more as I get older. And as I figure out all my mental illness things that I wasn't addressing before, right. It's like if I get all of that mapped out and under control, which it feels better and better all the time, that leaves room for more fun activities that I can kind of put back into my schedule.
Yeah. Once you make it like quiet in there, you're suddenly like, whoa, there's so much room in here for activities.
Yeah. And it's like just a lot more clear.
Yeah. I think for me, 2024 and the podcast is going to be a lot of stop being afraid of certain interactions and certain conversations. Because I've been avoiding a few of them due to not wanting to, you know, shake things up with some people in my life. And it's one of those things is like, I realized like, I would gladly say it here. I just would want to say it in front of them because I don't want the consequences. Not that like I don't agree with what I'm saying. It's just it ends up being miserable for me, which sounds very selfish, but it becomes an attack back on me when I'm trying to just be neutral. And I'm realizing like, screw it. Like even being neutral, they're going to attack you with what you say. So you might as well say what you actually mean.
And yeah, or it's just, I mean, it depends on where the person's at that you're having the conversation with too, if they have the capacity to be able to like have a back and forth conversation, or if it's just a not a good time or not a good space.
Yeah, we do try to our very best not to say people's names in the podcast, just in case. We don't want to ever ruin anybody else's life or
no,
you know, not agreeing with us or not or rubbing us the wrong way or having a bad time with us. And so I think that's going to be something that we continue as if we do talk about anything, it's going to be, you know, vague enough that it's not going to be them. And we also, Kayla and I also tend to take about 30 minutes before the podcast to kind of talk through some stuff. So we don't come in like gung ho being like, oh, I want to talk about this. It was the worst thing ever. And then reality, it's like, we shouldn't be talking about that.
Right.
Because we're still in a very heightened emotion on that.
And yep.
I think that's one thing that we can carry through that I really do like that we do.
Yep, I think so too.
Yeah. This first episode's kind of chill, kind of relaxed. Mm-hmm. We're getting back into it. It's still going to be twice a month. We're going to hopefully do some stuff on Ko-fi.
Bi-weekly
buys. But yeah, we're hoping to put some stuff on Ko-fi. I'm going to start maybe doing some more blog posts on there, which there weren't any, so I don't know why I say more as if I did any. But you know, maybe some of this video that we're recording that we can put up there too.
If people are listening right now, how could they give us, or what is it called? Subscribe to a Ko-fi? How does it work?
So Ko-fi is just one of those things where you can either donate just $5 just to donate $5, or there is a membership that they can do. It's the same thing as Patreon. Okay. But the difference between it and Patreon is Patreon requires like a monthly subscription, while Ko-fi, you can just donate $5.
Okay.
But we're going to put some stuff behind basically a paywall. That's going to be like the video, and we're going to put some blog posts on there, that sort of stuff. There's also a storefront on there. So at some point when we do have merch, that if you do subscribe, then we can give you a percentage off that merch, which will be very beneficial. And that will be really nice for everybody. But we're working on that, and it'll just be on our Ko-fi page. And maybe if we get to the point of having things organized enough, maybe you'll get to listen to the podcast early. So we're working on it. If there's any ideas that you guys have, anything you want to see or have, let us know too.
Or hear.
Yeah, for sure. Because that way We actually tailor, if you're, you know, paying $5 a month, then at least it's tailored to you and not,
right,
you know, anything else.
Well, and we can talk about anything. Let's be real. You've heard it. Like, we can talk about, give us a subject. We can talk about it.
We can sell ice to Eskimo. It's fine. Like, yep.
Bring it on.
We can talk shit for an hour. It's fine. But yeah, we do that too often. I think there was one, we had one episode we actually had to trash because it didn't record right. And that was the most scripted that we ever did. And it was like the worst episode we did anyway. So yeah. It was a good thing that got thrown away because it was scripted as all hell.
Thanks, universe, for being on our side, because that's fine.
On your side, I cried. So
yeah, sorry.
You're like, not sorry, actually. But this first episode might be a little shorter because we want to swing into our next episode and we want to talk a bit about what we learned from last year with the podcast, kind of reminisce and reflect. So if there's any of your favorite episodes, you can talk about that too. And in the Spotify little question of the episode, but we will see you guys next week, I guess. And we're going to have an outro that is pre-recorded, perfectly made for the season. Look at us. We're fucking professional now.
Yeah, look at us go. Look at us go.
This Kayla just doodles and never looks at me. She's like, look at us go, and she will never look at me.
Sometimes. Sometimes when it's really like, yeah, 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 what you said, yeah.
Oh, so what it is that I'm not good enough for you right now.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know.
Podcast over. Forever.
Our first episode.
First episode.
Thanks for listening to the Thought Dish Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you loved it, please remember to leave a review.
For access to more content and ridiculousness, check out our Ko-fi and become a member.
And look for us anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast.
Until next time, podcast out.